everybody. This is Encuentro. Today is Thursday. Let's begin with a prayer of Saint Francis. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, let me bring joy. Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled, but to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. Not so much to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in forgiving that we are forgiven. And it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Today's gospel reading is taken from St. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 22. And Jesus returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report concerning him went out throughout all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth. And they all said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" You know, I've always been fascinated at the fact that the very first words came out of Jesus' mouth when he began his public ministry. The first words recorded by Scripture is a word of glad tidings to the poor. And the very last words he spoke, you know, some of the final words recorded by Scripture as well, as he hung on the cross dying, was to a poor outcast, a thief, part of the riffraff of society, Demas. The good thief. The thief on the cross begged Jesus to remember him, and to whom Jesus, one last time before he expired, spoke the good news for which he was sent. To Demas he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The very first words he spoke were words of glad tidings to the poor. And the very last, some of the very last words he spoke, were precisely still words of great joy and glad tidings to one who was not only materially poor but was spiritually poor. The man was faithful to his mission. I'm talking about Jesus here. You know, he was faithful to his mission and to his Father to the very end. From start to finish, he did what he was asked to do. He suffered tremendously. He was tried and tested. But the man never flinched. He never took his eyes from the goal or the purpose and aim of his life. What was that focus? The very first words to the very last and everything else in between. It was the poor. But hear me out here. You know, this didn't just mean the materially poor. I mean, they were certainly the most concrete embodiment, the surest and most concrete sign and manifestation of Jesus' mission. But it wasn't just the materially poor to whom Jesus was sent, but to all humanity, rich and poor. Why? Because we're all poor. We've all been cast out of paradise. We've all experienced and are heirs to the loss of original grace, original blessing, our original state of enjoying living in God's perpetual presence. The Fact is, humanity is poor. We're all poor, rich and poor alike. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Scripture tells us. We've all lost paradise, but we're all wanting to go back. We all want to return home to that original state of happiness, of blessedness, and of bliss that we once enjoyed. We all want to be happy. We're all trying to find ways to fill in that hole, that void that is inside of us. And sometimes, in our attempts to do so, we fill it up with all sorts of things that, instead of really filling up that hole, push us farther and farther away from that goal, push us farther and farther away from paradise, from true happiness, from the Lord. And what are these things? Money, wealth, power, beauty, ambition, prestige, popularity and fame. But all of these are passing. All of them give us only a fleeting taste of happiness that should in fact last. And yet all of these things give us a brief moment of happiness that we enjoy for a moment before we are again dissatisfied. And then we crave for more. You know, the fact is, we can't return to paradise on our own. We can't find true and lasting happiness on our own. Try as hard as we can. We can't. It's just not possible. And that is why God has to assist us. That is why He has to guide us. That's why He has decided to take our hands and to lead us, and to walk with us and to be with us. And that is why He had to become Emmanuel for us, to bring us back home. This is God's mercy and compassion. And Jesus is its embodiment. He was sent to show us the way back. He was sent to reveal to us that the Father is rich in mercy, and to give us a roadmap back to what we've lost and to what we so earnestly still desire, but also to join us on our journey back to our destination. You know, from beginning to end, from the very first utterance to the very last, Jesus' life and ministry was circumscribed by His faithfulness to His mission, to bring glad tidings to humanity, which is poor, you know, which God feels for so tremendously, which God loves so dearly that He will do anything to bring us back to Him, including sending His Son, who then suffered and died for us. You know, what an amazing journey Jesus' life on earth was, from the very first moment to its very last, defined, colored, and marked by a singular confidence, trust, and faithfulness to His mission. You know, I've taught future priests, ministers of the gospel, servants of God's people for 23 straight years. You know, and I myself have been in seminary, in the seminary system for 34 straight years. Straight. This is my first time to be out of the seminary system. And throughout all that time, and having taught so many who are now really good and hardworking priests, as well as really good and loving husbands and fathers, this one thing that I've learned is perhaps the single greatest enemy of zeal, trust, confidence, and faithfulness to one's mission in life. The single greatest enemy. Whether this is, whether this mission is building God's family in the church or building God's family in a home with a wife and children. The single greatest enemy of our mission isn't fear. It's not fatigue. It's not even the hardships and challenges and hurdles that we encounter. They're inevitable in life. No, the greatest enemy of our mission in life, whether as priests, religious, fathers or mothers, is cynicism and jadedness. Is this not Joseph's son? The people ask as Jesus finishes reading and hands back the scroll. Is this not Joseph's son? It seems like a very simple and harmless question, isn't it? But in fact, there's much more to it than first meets the eye. You see, It could very well be interpreted as a statement of surprise and amazement, even a little bit of pride. In fact, the complete verse suggests precisely that, seemingly. All spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Today's gospel says, this was their own homeboy talking after all, you know? Their boy who had now returned home as a man and seemed so full of wisdom and power in his speech and his personality, you know? And what a compelling personality Jesus had. I mean, he was, after all, Nazareth's son. He was one of their own, you know? Why shouldn't they be proud? So this may, in fact, have been the spirit behind the question, you know? Maybe that's why they were asking that question. Maybe they were thinking, isn't this Joseph's son? You know, in their minds, they might have been saying, wow, this is Joseph's son. I mean, how amazing. And yet, we also know that shortly after that, and the succeeding verses record this, the very same people who seemed so amazed at Jesus became furious at him. In fact, they drove him out of town and were just about ready to throw him off a cliff. I mean, what happened? You know, the moment of awe, of wonder and amazement, it was all too brief. Soon, it was replaced with a sense that they really did in fact know this man. He was Joseph's son. We know this guy. We've seen him play. We've seen him growing up. We know his mom and his dad. We know where they live. We know where he lives. We know what they're like. We know their story. We know his story. We know everything we need to know about this guy. This is Joseph's son. Been there, done that, seen that. The moment of awe, wonder, and amazement was all too brief. Immediately succeeded and replaced by what had really taken root deep in their hearts. The spirit of cynicism and jadedness. You know, it's that spirit that has become closed to the surprises of life, of people, of oneself, and even of God. It's that spirit that has not only gotten tired, but has also become old, stiff, rigid, unbending, inflexible. By old here, of course, I don't mean chronological age. You know, age usually confers wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom in old people. And I say usually here because, you know, I mean, I'm not referring to old people. Okay? Some people grow old. They never grow up. That's what I'm referring to. Okay? Cynicism and jadedness are the two greatest enemies of our God-given mission. Whether it's as priests, religious men and women, fathers or mothers, when we're no longer surprised, when we're no longer amazed, when we no longer feel that sense of awe, wonder, and surprise, life becomes stale. Our spirits grow weary. Our minds become closed. And our hearts grow old. Then the mission itself that God gave us slowly dies. And it's replaced by a mechanical and functional way of acting and of being ourselves. We go through the motions, but the fire has long died. Jesus, from the very first moment of his ministry to the very last, Jesus believed. He believed completely in the work that the Father gave him. He believed in the greatness, the necessity, the nobility, and the holiness of his work. He believed in the Father who gave him that work. He believed in the people for whom he did the work, even if they now crucified him. And most of all, he believed in himself and in his willingness to see his work to its fruitful conclusion. That is faith. That is trust. That is genuine belief. And it is the antidote to cynicism and jadedness. Promise yourself this. Not only this new year, that's just beginning, but every single day for the rest of your life. Never become jaded. Never become cynical. Believe. believe in God. Believe in the goodness of people. Believe in your capacities. Believe in yourself. Always believe.